Welcome to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
I don't care. I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
Comrade Mike Dabreski.
No! I don't care. We hate you. I don't care.
And Kale Hall.
This is stupid. Making noises on the show. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
The Rob, Comrade, and Kale Podcast.
And welcome in to the latest edition of the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. I'm Rob Sanders. I guess I'm the head basher of LSU now. I'm all right with that. I'll carry that flag. Represent the number one team in the country, the Clemson Tigers, on this podcast. I have a co-host. The first is the man from the upstate. He is my friend and your friend. He is Kale Hall. Kale, what's up, brother?
What's up? Great to be here. Nice to be here after a win. Big win. I got chastised today because I called it a big win. Well, it was a big win. Anytime you beat somebody by 5 touchdowns, pretty good. I'll take it.
Well, you know, maybe it was a big win. I don't know. I don't think it was. It's fucking Vanderbilt. But the guy who will tell us that it's a big win, of course, is the third person that's a part of our podcast. He is the comrade, Mike Dabreski. Mike, tell us how this Vanderbilt win is like a national title win. Go.
It's not easy to beat Vanderbilt. I mean, we can ask our rivals in the state, and they can tell us.
You have a losing record to North Carolina, Duke, Augusta, YMCA, right on down the line. Keep talking, though.
I know a team in the state that has struggled with Vanderbilt, so we don't take it for granted.
We haven't played them since 1933.
How many years in a row now is it?
Yeah, sure.
Is our last loss, 07, was the last time we lost to them. That was a horrible loss. One of my five most annoying Gamecock losses of my lifetime, or of my Gamecock fandom. I go back to 93. That's got to be up there. That's probably number two. Tennessee lost probably the worst one.
Bless his heart, Kale. He's a new fan. You can give him five losses that are a lot worse than that.
I'm not a new fan. I mean, I
compared to Kale, you are.
I would say the worst. I mean, I know Gamecock fans would say 84 Navy. I don't really count that one because I was not really my Gamecock then. I wasn't really paying attention. So I can't say. It's kind of like the Bucky Dent homer beat the Red Sox. I was 4 years old. I don't remember that. So it didn't really hurt to me. So, big win. I mean, you know, here's the thing. It's not that we won. What I was worried about was we were going to win 24-19 and have to knock down a pass late in the fourth quarter to win. Then I'd be pretty pissed. But the one thing I liked is that it was not close. And it kind of gives me a little hope because I felt in the first two games, while frustrating as hell, we weren't that far away. Like we're still made some dumbass mistakes, but we weren't that far away. And now I feel like that feeling was legit because we came out and had no problem against a team that was inferior. So we'll
That's
see. Come
trash.
Next week against Auburn, facing the Chad Moore's
trash.
Offense, which is always good news for us. So be good.
That's Man, fucking trash.
I didn't like the way we started the game. I wouldn't say we came out and had any problems. They started flat as hell. And they went in after halftime. Somebody put a foot up their ass because they came out and looked like a different team in the second half.
I gotta tell you, that whole game, when it started out, it's raining, it's in Vanderbilt, which is not really a real aesthetically pleasing kind of environment to watch the game anyway. And then it's kind of dull as it is.
Yeah.
And we came out flat. And I sat there and contemplated – I love my Gamecocks, okay? But I sat there and kind of like, what in the hell am I doing with my life that I'm sitting here watching this game? Like, who? I felt like I was going, this is not the most enjoyable. And I was, like, annoyed that this is my life. But then we played better, and I felt better afterwards.
By the way, I've been getting told for, I don't know, since July that Miami was going to beat the shit out of Clemson. Paging the fake Dennis Wilson, the one who said we were going to lose by four touchdowns and three touchdowns and everything else, I guess he's politely doing what I told him to do like 3 weeks ago and is fucking himself, because that's what Clemson did to him after he cussed me up one side and down the other and talked about how the Hurricanes were going to whip ass and everything else. You fuckers couldn't cover the spread. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. No, Clemson toyed with you.
That was a bad pick on my part and your part as well, because yep. I mean, I sat here all week long and talked about how the Taters, they get up for games like this, you know, because we don't get no respect. This is one of those little old Clemson kind of games, or let's just go out and roll the shit out of somebody that's ranked overrated, as it were. And in the end, I ended up not picking them, and that was just dumb.
They fucked me.
I was four games this year. I was Clemson, and I've lost on three of them.
Fuck it.
A couple of things. I picked back in August. I picked Miami to be the team that would beat Clemson. The past week, I took Clemson to roll. I think 40-13. And the reason why I changed my mind, it wasn't because of something about Miami. It's just that Clemson, to beat Clemson, you either A, have to be better than they are, okay, which is only a few, and I hate to admit this, man, there's only a few teams that have the same talent as Clemson, like LSU last year, maybe Georgia this year, or Bama. I mean, they can beat them that way. Or they have to be kind of sleepwalking. And so, and the fact that I knew Miami was in trouble, because now, like, the hype train began. And whenever there's a team that isn't as talented as Clemson starts getting a little hype, and it's a big primetime game, you know what's going to happen. Like, you just can see it. So, like, I think, and I'm not making this prediction right now, but I think, like, this week may be more of the game that Clemson may lose. Like, Georgia Tech kind of under the wire. Clemson beat Miami. This might be a game where Clemson kind of comes out a little bit. I'm not sure Georgia Tech's got enough talent. I mean, obviously they don't have enough talent, but you know, like a Syracuse or a Pitt back in the day, that's what you need. So maybe Clemson comes out a little bit stale, a little bit kind of big headed, and puts the ball on the floor a few times.
We're taking calls tonight, by the way, 803-470-2905. There were a couple of interesting games we'll get into. We'll look at the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Calloway's Pick'em Challenge results and several other things. We got to talk about our sponsors first. We'll start with DNC Trucking and Transport, the No Spin Zone segment, courtesy of Dennis Wilson. Comrade, read away.
Oh, hold on. We're doing that quick. I'm sorry. I'm going to pull up. I wasn't ready.
You weren't ready?
I was sleeping. Okay, I'm ready. What? Oh, by the way, real quick, I got a text today. I got a text from Dennis Wilson, and he said, what do you think if I make Cale Hall start reading these from now on? I said, it's fine by me, but it's up to the big man. Okay, I don't, you know, if it's got to be agreeable to Cale. So there's something thrown out there. Dennis Wilson brought that up. So maybe he's got a different script for Cale Hall. I don't know. But anyway, I'll go ahead and read this crap now. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Dabo Swinney is a man that inspires me. I will tell you tonight that a win over Vandy is a big deal. That shows where our program is. Betty Wilson hates a couple of things. Me, and when little Dennis smells like country ham. It's utterly shameful to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
I don't understand what's wrong with this.
I mean, country ham is kind of tasty.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a nice fragrance.
All right, well, go lick Dennis's balls. That's where the country ham is.
Hunter Slay, listen, I want to bring something up real quick, okay? And this is going to happen because, you know, we do a podcast here, and the three of us have our opinions and everything. And you know, and I want to have some opinions that turn out to be very wrong. And when they're wrong, Rob always plays the clip of them, and everybody laughs in the room. But I want to bring up to the Tennessee fans here under Slay, when I said that you had no shot in the hell of beating Georgia, and you all laughed at me. You know, you can go ahead and apologize now if you want to. I mean, you can. You can go, you know what, comrade? You know what? You know, you called it, man. You called it. if you wanted to. If not, we can just play the little game. We wait till I get something wrong and then point that out. It's fine. But just, you know, bring it up there. And by the way, to the Florida fans, where's Delta? Where's that dude? Where's Destroy? Where's Destroy Boy?
Oh,
I bet you he won't show up today. I bet you he won't show up today.
He won't show up. That's what I told him. He won't show up. Dennis Wilson thing won't show up.
I told you last week, a Moneyline special, a Cale Hall comrade Moneyline special, take the Aggies and went outright. We're all laughed at. But they're not here now. So that's my only thing now. If your team's going to lose, show up the next week. Cal and I show up every week. Don't come back in here and Florida wins two games in a row. Oh, we're back.
I show up every week.
Well, I know. Whatever.
Yeah, Mike's like, your team doesn't fucking lose, though.
the Tennessee Georgia pick, that was a bad one on my part as well. I had no doubt in my mind that Georgia wouldn't win that game, but. Yeah, I thought Tennessee would put up a little more fight. They tried, man. They really did. They tried. They played okay in the first half. But, I mean, you take away that shitty thing on the first play of the game, and, I mean, the score was basically the same as what it was last year. If you see these ball fans on social media today, they are fucking depressed, man. I mean, they are. I mean, like on suicide watch. And I'm like, why? I mean, did you really think if you were going to win – come on now, man.
Who's more upset?
We got a good offensive line. We got a good offensive line. Yes, you do. And he blocks for Garrett Dudu. So there you go. You're not gonna make that next step. You're not gonna beat any of those
teams. That was gonna be one of my questions for you guys. And speaking of which, and we'll throw this to you first, Cale, who's more upset this week? The Tennessee fans, the Florida fans, or the LSU fans? I ventured today because of the tons of posts that I got. Now, a lot of them were because of things that I said, but the hatred from the LSU fans who have fallen from the mighty, I think, is pretty high. But I think a lot of them checked out after Mississippi State. I think that the Tennessee fans thought they had a chance. But who's more butthurt in your opinion, man?
Well, I mean, the only ass hurt that I've seen a lot of from is from the Tennessee fans. They are at least showing their face on social media, even though they've got the poo-poo face. I have the Florida people have went ghost today, and the LSU ones, I haven't had that much kind of contact with them, but I did see where you took some screenshots that some of them were posting such worthless shit as Coach O. If they don't fire Coach O, I'm turning in my fan card and all this bullshit. Come on now, man. Come on. Who brought all those damn players down there to win you that damn national championship last year? You knew you weren't going to be any good.
Who's more pissed, comrade?
I mean, listen, I get LSU being mad, but, like, you're defending national champions and you kicked Clemson's ass last year. I wouldn't get that upset. Like, if Rob's posting stuff, a Clemson fan, I'd laugh at him. Like, I'd be disappointed my team's fall off a damn truck. But, like, you know, I'd be like, it's okay. We won last year. We'll be fine. We'll regroup. It's a bad year. It's a year of COVID. Who gives a shit? So I wouldn't be that mad. I guess Florida fans, because Florida fans thought this was a year. Oh, we're the best team in the East. Tennessee fans, I mean, listen, I can't get into the head of Tennessee fans. It was a bad weekend for them. One, they lost to Georgia. Two, today the Raiders beat the Chiefs, which means John Gruden's not coming either. Okay?
David wants the number 803-470-2905. It's scrolling on the bottom there. I don't know. I guess you can't see it, but there you go. I mean, it's right. I think everybody else can. But
Shockley puts a good point. At least the Gamecocks covered the spread. The Gamecocks are 3-0 according to Vegas right now. If the playoff committee did it based on Vegas standings, we'd be a playoff team right now. And I think they should, personally. I think gambling is a big part of this country. I think that should be a component. I think that you have the top three teams, and then the fourth team is the Vegas team. The team that's been the best against the spread this year should go. That's my personal thing.
That's what I think. She's not having like the worst follow-up year to a national championship well, that you've ever seen. Well, good boy.
They're doing what NFL teams do, where teams that go to the Super Bowl suck. Like the 49ers today got mouth pumped by the Miami Dolphins. They're basically pulling that. But the thing with the LSU fans is that they – I mean, and I've got the screenshots for it. Oh, we're going 10-0. That's what a lot of them said. Reasonable folks like Edwin, who's watching tonight, he said, yeah, they're going 8-2 or something like that. If that team wins 5 games, I'll be fucking shocked. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if South Carolina went down there and gave them shit. It wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, Lord.
Well, listen, a couple of things. Like, you know, I was a big person that was saying that LSU, they're going to be better than people think this year. In retrospect, I'm wrong. But here's one thing to look at. Their defense was supposed to be their kind of their calling card this year. I think, you know, like, listen, Bo Pelini has a pretty good track record. But the problem with the whole, you know, I'm gonna give LSU an excuse right now. I'm going to blame COVID on this, okay? They got a new D.C., and he has an entirely different system. And they look like they're lost, and which makes sense. You put a new system in, and you don't get spring ball. I can see how that happens. And both Pelini is known to have a defense that's very complicated to learn. And you can see their defense look like they're kind of on their heels, like they're thinking more than reacting, which I've never been a big believer in that, especially at the college level when you have so few hours to practice. But your defense shouldn't be that complicated because that just, it makes you look – like you just you become non-aggressive. But
comrade, let's take this call. Let's see who this is.
Okay.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Not a whole bunch of call in the chat. David Penn.
What you got, bud?
Louisiana.
You're in Louisiana. First of all, before you say anything silly, are you safe down there from this bitch hurricane?
I'm actually in the National Guard, so I'm on disaster.
Well, thank you for what you're doing down there, helping to save some folks. But I'm glad we can entertain you a little bit this evening. But if you're calling to correct me on my LSU stuff?
I don't need to correct, but I've been eating it on with Rob Sanders all day as my Tigers have started 1-2, and I just give them an opportunity to roast me live. I'm a good sport that way. Just talk college football in general.
What do you think? I tell you what, I'm not going to roast a man that's in the National Guard that's helping people out in a hurricane. I mean, my co-host might do that, but I'm not. Why don't you tell me what LSU can do to fix it, because they've got talent according to the roster's there. I mean, you've got guys that can make plays. It just seems like anytime anybody tries to throw over the top, somebody's open big time. And the Mizzou quarterback, Kale, in his name, Balls on Sack or whatever the hell his name is, he's out there looking like a Heisman candidate.
Bedazzled Dick.
Bedazzled Dick. That's the Mizzou quarterback, Bedazzled Dick. I mean, you guys made him look like a Heisman candidate.
29 of 34.
Yeah. What'd you say, David?
Well, I mean, when you look at the LSU defense so far, which is obviously the biggest disappointment of the team, I mean, we made Mississippi State look like a star, and the entire offense looked like stars. And then we did it again with Mizzou. We did okay against Vandy, but I mean, when you look at all the blown coverages, all of the terrible fundamentals. I mean, you can't arm tackle when you're playing big boy football. And that's all you see is people grasping at shoulder pads and weight. There's no wrap up. There's no technique. It's blown coverages. That dude was wide open with nobody running down the sideline for the easiest touchdown I've seen this season. It's part of its scheme. It's a new scheme. And, I don't know which – who was comrade or no, but they were given the out of the COVID. And sure, you could use that excuse because Pelini is a new coordinator. They did switch from the 3-4 to the 4-3. And they have a ton of turnover, record turnover. I mean, they lost over 20% of last year's team to graduation, the draft, opting out, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, these are guys that have been playing football for years. They're 4 or 5 stars for the most part. There are 3-star guys on the team, but I mean, LSU is a top 5 perennial recruiting class, they're usually in the conversation, right? So it's not like they're getting nobody. So just, I think as an LSU fan, you see what's happening and you're shocked, for one. You knew there would be drop off this season. Anybody that's a real LSU fan knows that there was gonna be, that there was no way we were gonna replicate or even come close to last year. I knew that we weren't gonna compete for the CFP this season. 8-2, that was kind of that was Edwin's prediction, but I mean that's still best case scenario if you're able to compete, because you're figuring you're going to lose to Alabama and you're going to drop one to either Florida or Auburn, but now you're going to be lucky if you beat anybody. I mean anybody. Look what Vandy did.
Yeah.
I mean literally one of the bottom feeders of the SEC, and it was a good game for LSU, but who is Mizzou? Who is Mississippi State been for the last 5-10 years? Not really anybody that's competed for anything. I mean, and then they both just obliterated us on defense. So the offense looks okay. As a matter of fact, you look at Brennan, his first three starts as the quarterback at LSU, better than Joe Burrow's first three starts. Does that mean he's going to eventually surpass Burrow? Not likely, right? That's just an unrealistic expectation. But he's proving that he can run the offense. He can be formidable. He's not going to be a Heisman quarterback, not likely, I think. But he's somebody that can deal with the weapons that he has. And 41 points, that's not a bad showing. But when your defense gives up, what was it, 45 points, you're not going to win games.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Well, hey, man, I hope that you stay safe down there getting those folks squared away, man. Appreciate what you're doing down there, man. That's a tough job.
But real quick, though, I'm pretty sure – what's your name again?
It's David.
David. Yeah. David. I'm pretty sure, David, if I told you in August of 2019, I said, David, here's a plan I have for you. LSU was going to win the national championship this year. Your quarterbacks win the Heisman Trophy. But in 2020, you're going to be an absolute tire fire shit show. Do you take the deal? I'm pretty sure you take the deal, don't you?
So yeah. And so I grew up in New Orleans, and I was a Saints fan, and I'm 42. So, and I've started watching Saints football when I was 4. So I am used to years of misery. Like, people talk about one and done and all that stuff. That doesn't bother me. If my team wins a championship a decade, they're giving me something, right? I mean, you got Georgia. When was the last time they won something? I mean, the Oklahoma, they look like a dumpster fire every time they make the CFP. They get embarrassed. I mean, at least LSU gives me something to smile about once in a while, right?
That's right.
All right, buddy. Well, you stay safe down there, okay? And, you know, our hearts are out to the people in Louisiana because, man, it's a gong show down there with the weather, man. So take care of yourself, buddy.
We appreciate the sentiment, and good luck to you guys. Enjoy the show. And, Rob, I'll see you on Facebook.
There you go, brother. Have a good night. All right, there we go. David joining the show. That opens up the phones for you if you want to get involved. Apparently, the chat over here is great. Kale is dreaming of an R Auburn W.
I think it's our year to beat Auburn. I think it's our time.
The last thing I remember was Bedazzled Dick.
Bedazzled Dick.
God, no offense. You put me to sleep for a minute.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That right there. Ben Simmons, our recruiting coordinator, with the line of the night. Is Kale sleeping in his office at the Ingles?
Nah, don't work there anymore.
No more Ingles.
Oh, man. Good. Poor. Damn it, Ben. All right, so there you go with that.
I didn't do that, though.
What? Once. Anyway, moving on, though, I mean, LSU's obviously turned into a gong show. But you know who is one of the more surprising teams in the SEC? Has to be Arkansas. I mean, they you can make an argument that they should have won last week. And, you know, they could be at 2-1 right now. They're not a bad football team.
They got screwed yesterday.
Yeah. What do you think about Arkansas? Kale?
What?
I think, so far, Pittman's done a really good job with them. I mean, I think, you know, we knew they were going to be better defensively. I feel bad for them. That fucked yesterday. There was no way, I guess, that the no way that the SEC was going to let how many top 10 teams lose in 1 week. So,
Well, if you want to call into the show, 803-470-2905. Comrade, set us up for Guess the Line, man. We got to do Guess the Line before we get out of here.
We got to do that, yeah. And by the way, you know, the Kale Hall special with the first one we had this past week. I'm not a big fan of the Kale Hall specials, but I don't do well in those. I lost. I took Army to cover against the Citadel, and they didn't come close to covering. They almost lost the damn game. This week, though, our Kale Hall special is a doozy. A doozy. UMass at Georgia Southern. Let's guess the line. Can we guess the line at UMass at Georgia Southern?
What the fuck are we doing out there?
I haven't looked. I say Georgia Southern minus 3 touchdowns.
Is that 21 points? Is that what you're saying? Points.
Yeah. Caller, what you got for the show?
I wanted to call in and talk about that Arkansas fiasco that happened this weekend.
All right. Are you an Arkansas fan, sir?
I am.
Oh. Are you going to yell Woo Pig Suey at us?
No.
Okay. Well, tell us why'd your team get fucked over the weekend? We'd love to hear it.
Man, I think the SEC is politics, man. I think they're trying to protect the league, and they're trying to, they had to make a call. And – you know, they like Auburn better than they like Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas has been on the downfall for a while, and they're on the come up. And, you know, they want to keep them in that same corner with Vandy over there. And, Sam Pittman's did more in two games than Chad Morris did in two seasons. He got an SEC.
Chad Morris, he's a shit show, Chad Morris. Thank God he's at Auburn. We have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. So you like what's going on with Pittman down there? I mean, he seems kind of hokey, he seems to be doing something right.
Well, I think Pittman is doing the right things by staying in his lane. He's letting Barry Odom do his thing on defense. He's not getting all up in his business unless he's just kind of overseeing things. He's letting Kendall Browse run the offense. I mean, there's a couple times when he might have needed to step in a little bit with some of that 1-2 trickaroo fancy stuff. I mean, I think you got to let the offense marinate with the scheme for a while before you start getting fancy. But he's turning the program around by just kind of letting people – he's bringing in the people that are good in the areas that he's not, and he's getting out of their way. And he has a lot of passion. He wants to be here. He's not some slicker that's coming in from out of town and just trying to get a check.
Yeah, he's not. He's not a Will Muschamp.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, hey man,
Go ahead. What do you guys think about how Arkansas got screwed? I mean, what do you think that was all about?
Well, I think it's very
valid. There's a lot of validity to it, and it seems like the SEC. You'll see this happen from time to time when one of the quote unquote bottom feeder teams of the conference looks like they're about ready to knock off one of the players.
Happened last year.
Last year, South Carolina versus Florida. How many times did we get house on calls in that game? It was absolutely pathetic. So I think it's valid.
Well, I've said this on my Fox Sports show that I believe in the Birmingham theory with it's basically there's a bunch of guys down there in smoking jackets with Alabama tattoos on their tramp stamps, And they only care about Alabama, Alabama, Alabama. So, yeah, I mean, I think the refs can be biased.
Well, it's kind of like I wasn't around for this now, but it's kind of how it was back in the day with the ACC basketball, with the back of road schools.
Yeah.
You know, if you pissed them off, which is why when we left, you know, they didn't like how Frank McGuire's teams played. Those New York boys came down too physical. Everything was catered towards the tobacco road schools, you know, and we won the AC tournament. We left. We won it, champions. And we walked to the door. That's what we do. Well, that's what Gamecock basketball does. We're the Mecca. We're the basketball school.
But you understand, too, that you knew at the beginning of the season the SEC really didn't like you. I mean, Mizzou ends up getting Alabama and LSU. And by the way, they go 1-1 in that set. That's kind of a middle finger to the Smoking Jackets in Birmingham. And then Arkansas, you guys picked up a win. And
Georgia.
Yeah, and you guys get Georgia, too. And it's like, you know,
and Florida.
They don't give a shit. If they really wanted to lay it out and say, you know what, we are very confident in the blue bloods of our conference. So guess what, Alabama, we know that you've got Georgia on your schedule this year. We're going to give you Florida and Kentucky. We're not going to give you Vanderbilt. No. We want people to understand that, hey, we are that confident in our blue bloods, so that's what we're going to do. And we're gonna make this whole lie that's put out there that the SEC is the absolute end-all, be-all. And you know what? If you really go 8-2, but when you go 8-2 and you have the absolute best of the East or the absolute best of the West, that looks really, really good. But when you go 8-2, and it's like, yeah, our 8 wins, one of them's over Vanderbilt, one of them's over Ole Miss. The 2 games that we lost are to the quote-unquote powers. We didn't play any of the other teams, though. It's a shit show. That's basically what it boils down to with the SEC in their office. But, hey, man, I appreciate you calling, bud. I hope you check out with us later on.
Oh yeah, I watch Carolina Jackpot sporadically, and I like his input. I like how he just says exactly whatever's on his mind, and you know, it's unfiltered, and I dig that type of commentary. And so I discovered you guys through him, and I just kind of try to tune in when you guys go live every once in a while, just to kind of see what's happening on the other side of the Mississippi. I'm starting to become a Carolina fan because of Jackpot, and I'm wanting them to get a new coach, because I remember back when South Carolina used to strike fear in everybody. I mean, when you're like, oh crap, you know, you're playing South Carolina, it's not going to be some walk in the park.
Yeah.
And it's still not a walk in the park, but I mean, I think with the type of money and the type of school that you guys got over there, man, you guys should be like a 10-2 team every year, to be honest.
Champ kills him.
Yeah,
so Smart, man. He shares a lot of the same.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Sentiments that Pigskin Pete does. Pigskin Pete thinks the Gamecocks should be a contender.
I honestly thought he was talking about North Carolina. I swear to you. When he said, I'm going to be a Carolina fan, I was like, is he talking about North Carolina? We don't talk about North Carolina. Man, I'm sad.
I remember that. We struck fear into people. Best 3 years of my life.
Yeah. The guess in the line on that game with, what is it? It's UMass and who there, comrade?
Georgia Southern. You said, Kale said 21. You said what? You said 18?
Yeah, I got 18 for Georgia Southern. Why not?
Lisa Gale says Tara Harkins. She's got 47 names. Says minus 14. The correct answer is Georgia Southern minus 30. 30-point spread.
Shit. All right, let's take this call real quick here. Caller, welcome to the show.
Hi, this is a Texas A&M fan.
I bet you a happy sumbitch after that win on Saturday.
Yeah, that was. That was a long time coming. That's what we needed down there.
Well, what you got for the show, bud?
Well, the way I'm looking at A&M now, we lost that COVID shit and all that. We had 4 guys opt out, and we're not even the same team. We lost 6 starters off our team this year, so we're not near the team I thought we were going to field this year.
Mm. Well, you think after that win you're going to be better in the future, or do you think that's the pinnacle?
Well, if you look over our schedule, our final seven games, if I'm not mistaken, we should be favored by the experts to win all seven of them. I mean, you look at we got Mississippi State this weekend. We got Arkansas at home. We got Tennessee. We got South Carolina. We got Ole Miss. We got LSU at home. And then we play Auburn the last game after they get destroyed by Alabama the week before. And so they're not going to be up to play us. We're going to come in on a seven-game win streak. So it looks like A&M's got a chance at the playoffs this year.
That's fucking trash.
That schedule definitely is trash. A very good virtual.
That's what I'm saying. So
yeah, it's trash.
I mean, do you see anybody on there that I mean, any one of those teams can beat us if we don't come to play. I'm not so naive to say that.
I'm going
to
be honest with you about something really quick here on this. Do you have one more comment before we go here? We got to do Guests Alliance, man. What you got, real quick?
No, that's good. I just want to call in, and I don't really think Dan Mullen's any better coach than Jimbo Fisher. You may need to reconsider that. But, yeah, thanks for having my call.
You get to say that when you win, sir. So, yeah, there's that.
Yeah, I think he bitched yesterday because there was too many fans there. That made too much noise.
Fuck with all that. Did Dan Mullen really do that? Seriously?
Yeah, he wants to pack. He wants to pack. They had 24,000 fans at A&M, and he now wants Ford to have a packed house, 90,000. He wants the school to get it done because the governor said they dropped the law now, and they can have it. They need to have 90,000 now.
COVID-19 approves of that post. Yeah. Fuck out of here. All right, so, yeah. Anyway, my whole thing with that is that looking at this season, there's been a lot of surprise games to me. And just stuff that the way we evaluated at the beginning of the season, man, a lot of fucking difference there now, man. There really is, to be in my opinion. All right, so, Comrade, you want to do the rest of the lines here?
Yeah, here's a game that I really want to see in our contest this week. And this is a game that I didn't think we'd ever have in the contest, but I think it's an intriguing game.
Oh, God.
And, you can veto this if you want to. It's fine. It won't hurt my feelings. But I think we should have Ole Miss at Arkansas this week. I think it's a fascinating game. We should
guess
the spread
trash
as well. But Ole Miss at Arkansas. What do you think the spread in that game is?
7 for Ole Miss.
Okay. Kyle?
I'll take Ole Miss minus 3.
Ole Miss minus 2. Ole Miss minus 2 to open up. It's 3.5 in some places now, but it's minus 2 as it opened.
Yeah, that's not bad. Don't we have Alabama Georgia this week, right?
Yeah, Alabama Georgia is definitely
so,
to have in
so
there.
So that has to
that's
be in the mix.
Big game.
Hey, where's that game at? Where's that at?
That game's at Alabama.
Alabama. I'm mad. I'm just a little bit perturbed.
I would be too if I had to go to Alabama. 80,000, what is it, 80,000 fans in that stadium, about 7 fucking teeth. I wouldn't go there for shit. If it's at Alabama, I think Alabama will be a 6-point favorite. What you got, Kale?
Alabama minus 4.
Comrade?
It's the Bama minus 5 is the actual spread.
Oh, well,
we split the difference.
Split the difference there, buddy. That'd be an interesting matchup. We've seen that people can score on Alabama. What else we got, Comrade? We kind of cheated. We know the South Carolina Auburn thing is at minus 2 for Auburn, right? Is that the opening line?
Let me see if that's what it says on here. I think it says 2.
Yeah, I think it's 2. I think it'll go up before kickoff, but I think it's
minus 3. It says right now.
So that's what will be the line in our contest is 3?
That's minus 3 is what will be in the contest, yep.
All right, Clemson and Georgia Tech. I got Clemson minus 28. Kale, what you got?
Clemson minus 24.
It's Clemson minus 27.
That was close.
Right.
All right. What are the other matchups there, comrade? How many we got? We got 1, 2, 3.
Well, I mean, I kind of like LSU at Florida. We should have in there. So like LSU and
We should have that. That's going to be great because that's the battle of one team with absolutely no defense and another team that apparently has a bitch coach that wants to bounce back. So at Florida, I'll say Florida minus 8.
What do you think, Cal?
Florida minus 10.
Florida minus 14.
Man, my how the mighty have fallen. Look at that mess.
Man, I got to get on that one.
Wow. Kale, look at that number. But you know what? I was adamant that Florida would beat the shit out of Texas A&M, and that didn't happen.
That's an overreaction.
You think so? Yeah. All right, what else we got, Mike?
Missouri game. I think that's overreaction.
You got any other games you got, Mike? Florida and LSU. That's definitely.
I kind of like. We've got UMass, Georgia Southern, Auburn, SC, Clemson, Georgia Tech, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Florida. That's 5. I like Ole Miss, Arkansas. We go okay with that being number 6?
Yeah, number 6, and then.
Okay, and then I have 2 ACC games. How about Louisville at Notre Dame, and Pitt at Miami?
I'll do Pitt at Miami. I'm fine with that.
Georgia, Virginia Tech, and Boston College. I hate fucking Pitt.
Want to get rid of Pitt?
Or
use North Carolina. I hate Pitt. I want them out of my damn college.
Okay, so no Pitt.
No Pitt.
So Louisville and D, okay or no?
How about Boston College, Virginia Tech? Let's do that one.
Okay. What about would you rather have Kentucky, Tennessee over Louisville, Notre Dame or no?
Yeah, I'd rather have Kentucky, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was trying to have too many SEC games.
That doesn't bother me. Okay. I mean, if it's better, I don't gotta get mad. I don't give a shit.
I'm trying to be a little bit.
I don't care.
I don't want you going, fuck the SEC.
I mean, the SEC sucks, but fuck.
Okay, so we've got. So here's our 8 games, and we'll do the points for us in seconds. So we got UMass, Georgia Southern, Auburn, SC, Clemson, Georgia Tech, Georgia at Bama, LSU at Florida, Kentucky at Tennessee, Ole Miss at Arkansas, and BC at Virginia Tech.
That's fair.
Okay, so let's do the points first for Boston College, Virginia Tech. Let me go find it here. What do you guys think?
Virginia Tech minus 11.
Cal?
I'll say Virginia Tech minus 7.
Rob nailed it. Virginia Tech minus 11 on the nose.
Oh, shit.
On the nose.
That's pretty good.
So I said the last one is Kentucky at Tennessee, and we find okay. Kentucky at Tennessee. What do you think?
I'm gonna go Tennessee minus 6.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Tennessee minus 5.
Tennessee minus 7. Although it's down to 5.5 and 5. Now, but it opened up on a 7. So people are going
read
big
us
blue.
Read us the 8 games with the 8 spreads there, comrade.
So UMass at Georgia Southern, Georgia Southern minus 30. Auburn at South Carolina, Auburn minus 3. Clemson at Georgia Tech, Clemson minus 27. Georgia at Alabama, Alabama minus 5. LSU at Florida, Florida minus 14. Kentucky at Tennessee, Tennessee minus 7. Ole Miss at Arkansas, Ole Miss minus 2. Boston College at Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech minus 11.
All right,
those
there
are
you
8
go.
On the slate.
Those are the 8 on the slate. All right, so Philly fam wants to know, when do people in the chat get to ask us questions? Whatever your question is, you can feel free to put it in the chat over there, or you can call us at 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905 if you want to get involved with the program here. Any other reactions from the weekend, anything else that stuck out with you? Texas, I can admit when I'm wrong. I can absolutely admit when I'm wrong. And I said this on this show, and the comrade, he tried to pop my wrist about it. But I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to apologize to my friend from the Kremlin. Tom Herman is a shithole. I mean, just a legitimate shithole. You look at the talent that he's got, and like, I give Kirby Smart shit, okay, for the talent he's got, but Texas has top 10 talent across the board, and they are an absolute shit show. I mean, just terrible. I mean, he's not like Will Muschamp level yet, but he's getting pretty damn close. Philly fan, how long should we, I'm thinking he's saying we as in the Gamecocks, give Muschamp? We've talked about that before. If it were an issue of you could get rid of him and it wouldn't cost you anything, I think they would have fired him yesterday. But I think the optics will keep him here through the end of this season and next season. So I think we kind of all agree on that.
This is why I wish coaches were just paid like every year you renegotiate it and they say, well, this is going to be your salary this year.
Right.
And
you know who did that?
And you draw a damn paycheck every week, and there's your check. And if you fuck up three times, you get written up. It's like you do any job. So, like, you lose to Missouri, you got the write-up, okay? Number two, you give Clemson, you let them get 600 yards on you. That's another write-up. And then the third time you lose to Kentucky for the 10th year in a row, that's your third write-up and you're fired.
Well, but you know who did that, right, Kale? The best example of what you're talking about was with the Utah Jazz. Jerry Sloan, he went in every year and signed a one-year contract with the owner. And they would talk about how the season went and everything else. And the cool part about that, and Sloan said this, he said it kept me motivated to be a good coach. So, but on the other end, you're going to have parents that are going to be like, hey, why should I send my kid there if you could be gone in 9 months? There's that too. So, comrade, what are you smiling about?
Dumb people send me messages on Facebook.
people trying to troll you on Facebook while you're in the middle of the show?
Of course.
I got the question asked over there. I think Eric over on the YouTube chat asked how I did on the Carolina jackpot picks against the spread of the 20 games that I do. And I was going to like do a radio reveal, and I didn't have time this evening to do that. I'm feeling great. But it was actually 13-7.
That's not bad.
Jackpot this week. Yeah, no, I've got two pages. The first page, I'm like 13 games on, and the second page had like 7. And I went like 11-2 on the first page. The back end was the night games, and they kind of screwed me a bit there, like the Clemson game and the Kentucky. What else? I can't remember. But anyway, I only got like 2 of those right on back page. But,
right. Well, there's another question up here. Who was it that asked? Suicidal Gamecocks fan. Man, that's harsh. Brock Lee asked, do you think South Carolina will upset Auburn? No, but I think that if they beat them, it's not an upset. I don't think Auburn's that good. I don't think it's an upset. I mean, it's 3 points.
We're underdogs. It's 3-point dog. So it's
well, I mean, but that, would you really? I mean, let's be honest, Mike. Would you really think it's an upset if you beat them at home? I don't think so.
I mean, I know you can't. It's every year is different. But given the fact we've not beaten Auburn since 1930, what was the last time you beat them?
That's a long 34. Fucking time ago.
It was when the Model A was fashionable.
Yeah. So given the fact we've never beaten them, even when they had a crappy team that one year. By the way, that one Auburn loss.
When men wore suits everywhere, yeah. Like that.
Kale would be running around with a top hat on.
Speaking of my top five worst Gamecock losses, one of them is the Auburn game when they were crappy. The last game that Stephen Garcia started at home when Steve Spurrier had like a stroke in the sideline and wasn't managing the clock. It was like Will Muschamp a little bit with clock management. The game that Ron Morris called him out. and said that this loss sounds Spurrier, which it was, and apparently the truth hurts Spurrier. That's why he got mad. You only get mad when the truth, when a person really hits you with the truth. That game was probably one of my top five angriest Gamecock losses, is that one. So given the fact that even when Auburn is crappy, we lose to them, I would think that historically speaking, it would be an upset given the fact that we're 3-point dogs and that. But yeah, well, listen, I think we can win. If you can guarantee me that Chad Morris will call all the offensive plays, I think we'll win. If Gus Malzahn is calling the plays, then I'm worried. But if Chad Morris is calling all the plays, then I can sit back and I'll be fine. I know he'll fuck it up.
Well, but here's the thing with that too. I think that Gus Malzahn, you know, we goof about Chad Morris, but Malzahn's supposed to be the guy. Hold on, let me get this call here. Let's see who this is. All right, good evening. Welcome into the show.
Hey, how's it going? Good evening.
Good evening. What's up?
So this is Philly fan. I was the one who asked the question about Muschamp, and yep. I asked the question because, you know, I've been listening to Carolina Jackpot for about a year or two. And my thing is, I feel like it's kind of like, I think you guys have kind of touched on this, but it's like with this new age of football, they expect coaches to have immediate results. And I think that I'm kind of old school with that view, where it may take 5, 6, 7 years, two different, you know, recruiting classes to really, or recruiting
Preach.
Cycles. To really see what can be done. And I think this class that we got coming in, or got, already had come in, Doty, Birch, I think we got to give that some time.
Well, okay, and that's fine, but you're in year five. I mean, I think that's kind of the big thing. And then, I mean, you had a 3-9 season last year with a loss to App State. And what were your three wins? Kentucky. Who were the three wins? Kentucky, Charleston Southern, and
four.
Vanderbilt. Was a few 4-8. I'm sorry.
We beat Georgia.
Yeah, and Georgia. Hey,
Georgia.
I'm sorry.
Hello.
Yeah, you beat Georgia.
Munching on some hedges. I pissed you off. You're back 8 weeks straight, Rob.
Huh?
8 weeks straight. You were pissed off about that. You were angry for 8 weeks.
Oh God, you guys can't get me.
You
angry.
Were David Butts mad. You wanted to fight people.
I wanted to fight people. I might just drive to your house and fight you.
I think the thing with the Muschamp and building something and all that is. What kind of cuts to the core a little bit of with us is, you know, when he was brought in, we were not that far removed from 3-11 win seasons in a row, and then nobody. It's not like the taste of that was out of our mouths yet. So I think that's why we, you know, wanted a little bit more immediate results. But it, you know, it's been long enough. It's been long enough to get the program back up to an acceptable level. No question about it. It's not like, you know, he was taking over like a Kansas job where you win two games a year for the past decade. He had some pieces there.
I give you Sam Pittman at Arkansas. I mean, I shouldn't have to say anything else. They look a hell of a lot more respectable than they did before.
Well, that's not a good example.
Yeah, okay.
I know, okay.
But slow down. Slow down. I give you Eli Drinkwitz at Mizzou. Mizzou went 1-1 against LSU and Alabama. You'd kill for that, comrade.
But also, Muschamp in his first year took a really bad team, got him to a bowl game, and in year two went 9-4 and beat Michigan. So I'm like you can't just, you know, they're off to a good start, but let's just see. Now listen, my biggest issue with Muschamp, and I believe in being patient. I don't think you do anything if you keep on changing coaches every 4 years. I mean, listen, and I've seen some things with Muschamp that I don't like that concern me. But at the same time, I think the whole just change coaches every time when you don't have a person you know for sure will be better that you can get, you know. But which it doesn't matter. Anyway, we're not finding anybody anyway this year because of the COVID. But anyway, that being said, the thing that concerns me is that I don't get why our defense is so bad. And maybe this is the week that we get our confidence back and we're better. But I doubt we're going to be a really good defensive team this year. And I don't understand that we have a coach who is – like when you hired him, you knew the one thing we would have down the line once he got his players in and got some depth was defense. It's year five, and we don't have the best depth. We should have enough depth though to be a good defensive team, to be a top half SEC team by now. Okay, and by year six, year seven, be a top three SEC defense. You're not going to be as good as Bama, usually LSU defense in a normal year, or Georgia maybe, but you should be in that range of a top three or four SEC defense with a Will Muschamp defense over time. And we aren't close to that. I mean, we played well this week, but it's Vanderbilt, but even early in the game, you know. So that's my issue is that his strength is that. And we're not seeing it this year. I thought this year we'd see it. I really thought our defense would be really good this year. And I was worried about the offense from the standpoint that's brand new, and I thought we'd be a little bit methodical. I thought that we would be a team that didn't make mistakes, but maybe didn't score a lot of points, but held the ball a little bit and did that stuff where our defense could shine. Our offense has looked great. Man, our offense, I'm not worried about. Our offense is going to run the ball, and I like the play call. I mean, Bobo's not perfect, but he's a big leap and bounds ahead of anyone we've had since Muschamp's been here. In terms of, the only problem we have, we don't catch the ball enough, which is not really a Mike Bobo issue. That's just a, we need to get players to catch the ball. But I like the way the way he calls plays, to how he sets plays up, it looks like we really have a damn plan. And our defense, we just have too many guys who get open and no one's near them and get out in space. And we don't tackle well either. But a part of that, too, is when guys get out in space, it's hard to tackle really good athletes in space. That's why you don't let them get out in space. That's the whole point on our defense. So that's the part that makes me kind of upset, makes me wonder if he's going to make it or if he's the right person, because that's his strength and we're not doing well there. So
yeah, well, hey, Philly, go ahead, Philly fan.
So I'm gonna leave you guys with this last thought, and I'm gonna let you guys go, but let's just say this. Okay, let's say Muschamp sticks around for 2 or 3 more years. He grooms Doty, however you say, got him doing the right things. What if he were to take him to a SEC championship? I'll leave you guys that thought. Appreciate you guys taking my call.
All right. Thanks a lot, Philly fan. Appreciate it, buddy. It's nice of you to have your sons call in the show, comrade, to back you up a little bit. Appreciate that. You get you rallying your young men to call. I honestly think that there's two people that want Muschamp to stay for a little bit longer. That would be comrade and Philly fan there, so thanks for that, Philly fan. I wonder about what was the other thing I was going to bring up. Unless you have something else you want to talk about football, I thought we'd do a quick thing here on the ALCS and the NLCS. ALCS, I've got the Rays winning over the Cheaters. Comrade, who you got?
The Rays are really good. I think the Rays are the best team in baseball. They're not, like, in terms of 1 through 25.
Yep.
I know they don't have the star-studded team that the Dodgers and Braves have. The Dodgers and Braves probably look better on paper, but the Rays has got so many damn arms, like so many power arms, and guys that most people that follow baseball, kind of casually don't know. But they have so many damn arms, and they beat you, and you go, man, I can't believe we lost to the Rays. Like, Yankee fans are all like, I can't believe we lost to them. Like, well, actually, they were better all year than you guys were, just because they don't make all the money, and, they don't mean they're not as good, and they're really good. And so I think if you're a Braves fan, you want to win a World Series, you got to beat the Dodgers first, which is going to be tough. I mean, Dodgers are really good. I think the Braves can beat them, though. The Dodgers' bullpen is not that great. I think you get some bullpen games, you can get them. But if I'm a Braves fan, I'm pulling for the Astros right now, because I think the Braves can beat the Astros. I don't think the Braves can beat the Rays. I don't think the Braves can beat the Rays in the World Series.
Kale, you've been watching the Braves, man. You like how they look?
Yeah, yeah. Do the Rays still play in that dump of a stadium, the indoor thing that nobody goes to?
Comrade, they're bubble series right now, aren't they? I mean, everything's in one spot.
They're all bubble. Yep, they're all bubble.
Yeah, aren't they? Where are the Braves? Aren't they in Houston?
The Braves are in Arlington.
Yeah, Arlington. Okay. Well, there you go. Well, the other news, Edwin just mentioned this, that I like Brock's comment first. Cale Hall could beat Lindsey Graham and Jamie Harrison. I get tired of seeing their ads. They get me a little bit perturbed with that.
Just a little bit perturbed. They're all over the damn YouTube ad. It's everywhere.
The only one was worse was Tom Steyer. Tom Steyer bought YouTube ads for like 6 weeks. So anytime there was a video on YouTube in the state, it was a Tom Steyer ad, and he got 8% of the vote. I'm serious.
That was eight YouTubers.
I honestly could have taken Cale and got him on the ballot here for $5,000, because that's what it costs to get on the ballot for a presidential race in South Carolina, if I remember correctly. I could have done that and just had Cale just running around saying shit like this.
What's going on, motherfuckers?
You know, and when you ask Cale about taxes.
That's fucking trash.
What do you think of the tax system, Cale?
This is ridiculous! God damn it! God damn it!
Yeah, I just play clips like that and put that out there with a tenth of the money Tom Steyer spent, and Cale's going to get more than 8% of the vote. I'm just saying. They'll get Cale on the debate stand, and they'll ask questions like, Cale, did you go to sleep in your office at Ingalls? And Cale will just sit there, and he'll just be like, you know what? Somebody asked Cale that in a debate. Cale goes up there with his top hat on. They ask him about that.
I fucking hate him.
Exactly. I could get more votes for Cale than that, seriously. Anyway, but the Falcons, by the way, they decided to fire their manager, their general manager, and their coach. All in the same. Wow.
They're hot garbage.
That is a shit
28
show.
28-3, 28-3 lead in the Patriots, and all downhill from there.
Cale 2024, make Gamecock football great again. You know, not to be political on this show, but during Barack Obama's tenure in the White House, the Gamecocks were pretty fucking good. Just throwing that out there. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything or not, but... All right, well... Gamecock football was never great. All right, guys. Well, we have our stuff, our picks for the next week's games. And I think we're done. If you want to follow us, I'm on Twitter at RobSoundsGood. Jackpot is at Hall_Cale. And the Comrade is at ThePeskyPole. So be sure to follow us there. Make sure you check out my show on Facebook tomorrow. Or on the iHeart app. Who have I got on my show? Oh, I've got Will Pelagic from ESPN 93.9 The Game tomorrow on with me to talk about the Falcons firing and preview the NLCS. So if you want some intake on that, let me know. As my buddy Willie P does a Falcons pregame show for the Atlanta Falcons, so he might know something. I don't know. We'll find out. All right, gentlemen, I think with that, this show is a wrap.
Bye, guys.
All right, Cale. Good stuff tonight, Cale. Cale, you make me laugh really hard, man. I went back and listened to the show the other day, and you said we were talking about Dolly Parton's the sweat between Dolly Parton's titties, and you said, that's just a couple of my kids.
Yeah, that was two of my unborn children. That's what sweat's called.
Oh, that's crazy. All right, guys. Lord. Appreciate y'all.